Welcome to today's edition of the Rush 24/7 podcast.
You know, the cigar I was smoking yesterday, the cigar with which I opened the program amidst billowing clouds of fragrant aromatic smoke, the draw on the thing was so tight I thought I was going to get a hernia. The cigar I just lit today tastes like it's got perfume on it. You've been messing around in the humidor, Dawn? Greeting. No, it's not the soap. I didn't use it. It's not. Wasn't soap anyway. It was hand sanitizer. It smells like French bordello. Anyway, greetings, folks, and welcome. It's great to have you with us as we launch into another 3 hours of broadcast excellence. I am Rush Limbaugh, as you all know. Telephone number here, 800-282-2882. The email address, rush@eibnet.com. So there was a little snafu yesterday in Gainesville, which is the home of the University of Florida. A student there was tasered and arrested after trying to ask U.S. Senator John Kerry, who served in Vietnam, about the 2004 election and other subjects during a campus forum. You may have seen the video on YouTube and a couple of other places. The kid just rushes the microphone, starts asking Kerry questions. The room's not very populated. When I watched the video of this, I was a little surprised. It's not overflowing. It's not packed. There are a lot of empty seats in there. And this kid starts firing his questions away. And in the midst of all this, the cops come down and start roughing up the kid. Kid's a journalism major. Kerry, while this kid, the cops, manhandle a guy, they walk him up the aisle, a kid starts shouting, what'd I do? What'd I do? What did I do? What have I done? And Kerry doesn't do anything. Kerry, a former professional protester, seeing someone protest right in front of his eyes with four cops coming down, eventually tasering the guy, just stands there and is telling a few jokes. No, 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 let the guy go. My answer is a very important question. So while all this is going on, Kerry answers the question about what you didn't do in 2004. The kid wanted to know, why didn't you contest the vote count in Ohio? And Kerry's a very important question. I'll answer that question. And while the kid's being tasered, Kerry's answering the question. And here's this is a little bit of audio from the incident.
How did you concede the election on the day?
Help! 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 Are you kidding? They're arresting me! What have I done? What have I done?
Get away from me, man!
I didn't do anything! Don't tase me, bro!
Oh!
They tasered him. And he's writhing on the floor. And Kerry, doesn't do a thing about this. Now there's a massive protest planned today for University of Florida. I mean, this is hilarious in a sense because Kerry just stands there and doesn't do anything. I'll tell you, the kid wants to know what he did. And the kid's name is Andrew. Andrew Meyer, 21. It was okay if he asked about the Florida recount. It was okay if he asked about Ohio and the contested election or lack of Kerry contesting it in 2004. By the way, Kerry answered that and said, we didn't have the evidence. There was no evidence. We would love to, but we didn't have any evidence. We want to put the country through it. He asked about the impeachment of George W. Bush. All that was fine. When he asked, are you a member of Skull and Bones with George W. Bush? That's when everything started happening. That's when the cops show up. That's when a taser gun comes out. Andrew, the one thing you shouldn't have done, buddy, was ask about Skull and Bones. he would have asked about Swift Boats, Kerry might have come down and tasered him. These people on the left, these Democrats I guarantee you, this is a Daily Cause kid, it's a MoveOn.org kid, it's a something, and this is what the Democrats fear, from their own side. I got an email at rushlimbaugh.com, a subscriber. Dear Rush, I've been a listener since 1988, when I worked a summer job with a buddy doing pavement evaluation. I've been a devout EIB listener, and I've been married for the past 8 years. My wife, about 3 months ago, told me she didn't want kids and decided to divorce me to further her career instead. Of course, it's more complicated than that, but my question to you is, now that I'm 39 years old, I have a good job, have lots of money, when the house is sold. But given that I'm in the state of Virginia, I have to wait 6 months to do anything with the opposite sex. What the hell do I do in the meantime? So I wrote back, I said, celebrate. He wrote back, said, will do. I mean, you can celebrate in a lot of ways in 6 months. I didn't know that law existed in Virginia, 6 months of celibacy during a divorce. I don't know how they enforce it. Well, we could ask that same question about Mrs. Clinton's health care proposal. We're going to spend some time on that today. Because there are a lot of questions that need to be asked and answered about that. Barack Obama has urged Wall Street to protect the middle class. He says the free market impulse has taken a toll on the middle class. Actually, the free market impulse has made the middle class. We'll have details on that. Also, guess who's back? And in the same vein, former Labor Secretary Robert B. Reich. Now, if you are new to the program, you might be wondering, why did I pronounce his name that way? Well, Secretary Reich used to be a regular commentator on the NewsHour, the McNeil-Lehrer NewsHour, back when McNeil was on it. And he'd do his little commentaries, and at the end of his commentaries, he would go, I am Robert B. Reich. And trail off. He doesn't pronounce his name that way. This is just a TV gimmick. Like a sort of like an on-screen signature. And so, as an excellent mimic, I simply expand and exaggerate what is already an affectation on the part of former Secretary Reich. At any rate, here's what he says. Every day we hear the mantra that where capitalism flourishes, democracy is sure to follow, but that is not necessarily the case. Rather, today's highly competitive super-capitalism is endangering democracy by taking power out of the hands of ordinary citizens. I wonder if Barack Obama and Robert Reich are coordinating their message here. He goes on to say that over the past 30 years, global capitalism has developed into a turbocharged web-based system in which consumers and producers can access almost anything, just about anywhere. But he says this intense competition generates negative social consequences, whether it's global warming, lower wages, unstable jobs, or greater inequality. These results of super capitalism require a response. You look at what folks, seriously now, you look at Obama, which we'll talk about, you look at Hillary's health care plan, hell, any of these Democrat candidates' health care plans, you look at what this guy is now back saying, there is an all-out attack and assault on capitalism, which means market freedom, market economies. Your chance at prosperity is under assault by these people. I have been warning you about this. Their mission is to take as much control over society as possible, redistribute things so that people are equal and fair and all this sort of thing, which if you look at any point in time in history, in U.S. civilization, any nation, any populations that's tried this, A, it's failed. Nobody's ever become prosperous other than the leaders, B, and it just doesn't work. And yet that doesn't matter. See, the results never matter to these people. We are only supposed to calculate and be influenced by their good intentions and their big hearts and their compassion and tolerance and all of their gunk that they supposedly have monopolies on. When you examine the results of these kinds of programs, there's no evidence to suggest that it's the way to go. Now, let's take these things he said. Global warming, lower wages, unstable jobs, greater inequality. All of these things are the result of super capitalism. Even if, ladies and gentlemen, let me turn my volume down here just a sec. Even if all of our current warmth is man-made, if we stipulate that for the sake of this discussion, it has been a small price to pay for the health and prosperity and long lives we now enjoy. We're up 1 degree centigrade in the last 100 years. What the hell is so bad about that? Unless you start, your starting point is that the climate 100 years ago was ideal and we're in the process of destroying it and nobody knows that. As for lower wages, this lower wages are the result of super capitalism. What is the lowest wage? Let me ask you a question. There is an answer to this. The lowest wage has always been the same thing. What is it? Come on, give me a figure. What's the lowest wage? There is an answer to this. The lowest wage has always been the same. Zero. $0 an hour for the person who's lost their job because some idiot bureaucrat decided that workers should be paid more than the market can bear. How many people have lost their jobs because of the minimum wage increase? The lowest wage has always been the same. Zero. Wages are not lower. Productivity is up. Reich. Is simply wrong and full of it here. Unstable jobs, a result of super capitalism. Free market thrives on competition, and that's what he focuses on here. Competition is causing unrest. It's causing angst. It's causing controversy. It's causing doom and gloom. That's not what's causing doom and gloom. What's causing that's you people on the left, Secretary Reich. Because you people are constantly pounding everybody with doom and gloom and pessimism. You and your buds in the drive-by media. Competition has always been the thing that free markets thrive on. And where there's competition, bad business decisions are weeded out naturally by the market. Market's constantly readjusting to all this. It's a good thing to have competition, but not to these guys. Because in competition, there are losers. Can't have losers because that's sad. And greater inequality. All right. As I've always said, yep, let's make everybody equal. The only way to do that is to spread misery equally. That's the only way, and that's what'll end up happening if these people... You know, folks, go back and read some of the great philosophers. Go back and read some of the great conservative thinkers now and then. Compare what they said, what they did. Throw me in a loop with those great philosophers. Compare that with where we are headed. And we have come way off track. Do you realize Mrs. Clinton and Edwards and Obama have proposed this national single-payer, whatever it is, health care plan? Have you seen a Republican pop up to denounce it? Well, they've got a free ride on this. They've established the premise. Nobody is disputing the premise on our side. Karl Rove today in the Wall Street Journal has a great op-ed on the real way to fix this, but he's not a candidate. Anyway, a lot of work to do on this, and we'll get started with all that in the rest of today's program right after this. Hi, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. L. Rushbaugh meeting and surpassing all audience expectations on a daily basis and making it look easy. Making it look as though anybody could do it, but they can't. 800-282-2882 if you want to be on the program. Before we get on with the super serious portion of today's program, ladies and gentlemen, I sitting there minding my own business last night, bothering no one. I had the football game on, the Washington Redskins, the Philadelphia Eagles. But I'm also at the computer, so the game's on my right. I knew it was going to be a low-scoring and boring game. I just knew it, but it was a football game, so I got it on. But I have the sound down because, as I've mentioned to you, it's just noise to me. So I have the closed caption on, and I'm working, and I get a couple emails. Hey, they're talking about you on ESPN again. I wonder what about, I said to myself, given that the Eagles are playing. In fact, let's start at number one. Let's go there. This is what was said during the Redskins at the Eagles game last night. This is play-by-play man Mike Tirico talking about Donovan McNabb.
Go through the other controversies. The Freddie Mitchell, they're kind of criticizing Donovan for being more of a management guy than a player's guy in the locker room. Then, of course, you have the Rush Limbaugh incident when Rush Limbaugh was on Sunday NFL Countdown on ESPN and brought up the whole black quarterback issue with McNabb and everybody wanting a black quarterback to succeed.
Right. They just can't let go of this. You know, this is 5 years ago now. I think it was 2002. I mean, it's been a long, long time, and they just can't let go of it. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. The one thing about this incident that I really have noted, and I'm not happy about it. It's a very sad thing. This incident has made of Donovan McNabb a perfect victim. And that's just very sad. There was no need for him to become a victim. The media has aided and abetted this victim stat, and that's what that little bite there from Tirico is all about. Whenever there's a game and he's not doing well, let's go back and talk about the Limbaugh incident, let's talk about the Freddie Mitchell incident, let's talk about Terrell Owens and so forth and so on. He's just become this giant victim now. And that's really sad for me to see. Now, they had Charles Barkley in the booth last night, and Barkley had this exchange with Mike Tirico.
I have been critical of the Eagles fans and Philadelphia. Andy Reid and Donovan McNabb have been fantastic for Philadelphia, and I got much love for Peyton Manning, but up until last year, Donovan McNabb had actually been more successful than Peyton Manning, and they don't treat Donovan like that here, and I have a problem with that because he has been fantastic.
Bill Carollo, the referee, going inside the voter's booth to look now at the replay.
He's not a Republican.
Yeah, now, of course, the politics back on ESPN, I guess it's okay now, even though I didn't even get into politics with this original comment. So I got this email early this morning. When I got up to prepare for the program today, here's the headline. McNabb tells HBO that race is an issue at quarterback position. Okay. What was it I originally said? What I originally said was that I thought McNabb was a little overrated. The defense of the Eagles was not getting the credit they deserved for the Eagles' performance. Because the media, a bunch of social liberals in the sports media, like everywhere else in the media, have a desire for black quarterbacks to do well. And from that, a five-year firestorm has erupted that has created a victim out of Donovan McNabb. And now he's on HBO tonight on Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel talking about how race is an issue at quarterback. James Brown is the interviewer, asks McNabb how about how people perceive him as a quarterback, alluding to the lack of African-Americans at the position because some people thought they weren't smart enough. There's not that many African-American quarterbacks, so we have to do a little extra because the percentage of us playing this position, which people don't want us to play this position, is low, so we black quarterbacks do a little extra. I pass for 300 yards. Our team wins by 7, but they say, he couldn't even have made that throw. They would have scored if he had done this. Brown says, well, doesn't every quarterback go through that? McNabb says, not everybody. So he's playing the victim card here. And it's a sad thing to see. Performance is colorblind, folks. Ask Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods universally adored and admired because he's an incredible talent. Same thing with Michael Jordan. Same thing with Hank Aaron. You can go on down the list. I tell you what, if I were a white quarterback in the NFL, or if I were Hispanic, if Jeff Garcia is, I get sick and tired of this whining about race that McNabb has now been lured into by the drive-by media. He's a very celebrated guy, but he's a victim. You don't hear Tiger Woods talk about this because he performs. Couple more things to say about this, but it's profit center time, so sit tight. We'll be back and continue after this. Yeah, Kimmy posted on that because as soon as you got it, I want it. Hey, told me early, Justice Brothers commercial coming in, folks, so we just got the heads up from the advertising agency. It buys time here on this program from them. Welcome back. Rush Limbaugh, the EIB Network, at 800-282-2882. Now, last night, the Philadelphia Eagles played the Washington Redskins. There were two black quarterbacks on the field, Donovan McNabb for the Eagles and Jason Campbell for the Washington Redskins. And the Redskins won the game last night. Now, Jason Campbell, much less celebrated, much less wealthy, performed much better. Perhaps the sports media in Philadelphia, and maybe even McNabb, can tell us who on the football field last night caused the Eagles to lose because they had a black quarterback. Who can tell us, maybe, well, remember now, McNabb's going on HBO tonight saying that race is a factor at the quarterback position in the NFL. Vindicating my only point ever made about this, by the way. So, you know, if he's got to try harder because he's a black quarterback, somebody maybe can tell me who on the football field last night caused McNabb and the Eagles to lose because of race. They can't let it go. They just cannot let you go. Let this thing go. It's as I say, I hate seeing it. There's no reason for victimhood here, and that's what this has become. All right, here's the new Justice Brothers commercial. As you know, they're a special advertiser of ours. We sell them commercial time within the program content. You know, folks, I love pouring gasoline on the fire, especially when I am the fire. Let's go to the phones. People patiently waiting. We'll start in Lake City, Florida. This is Mary. Nice to have you on the EIB Network. Hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
I love you, Rush.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I just wanted to make a comment about the University of Florida incident.
Yeah.
My son goes to school there, and actually his father works for the Gainesville Police Department. The reason I think everybody's in such an uproar and they're going to do the protesting today, from what I understand, is they are objecting to the fact that he got tasered after he was handcuffed.
One hand. He was half-cuffed. But I agree with you. That's it looked like it was a little bad form in there. But it's what happens at Democrat rallies where there are protests. Look at the Chicago Convention in 1968.
Oh, I understand. And I'm definitely not a Kerry advocate, but the University of Florida paid to have him there, not the journalism student. And the reason why they tasered him is a lot of times when people are handcuffed, they still won't be still and they hurt themselves. So I think they were well within their rights.
Well, that's good.
To do what
instead
they did.
Of letting them hurt themselves, we'll hurt them.
Exactly. I mean, I think he's probably from the, what do they call that, jackass thing they have on TV. I think he wanted his 5 minutes of, notoriety.
You know, we can only speculate about the motive of a typical, immature, childish college punk student. And to speculate his motives. Look, it looked to me like he just genuinely had some questions. Also, like he wasn't too interested in Carrie's answers. Looked like he was maybe trying to monopolize the thing. But even at that, folks, here's what you have to... You have to understand this. Well, he might have been auditioning for the Washington Press Corps. He might have been auditioning for exactly what happened. A lot of attention and so forth. But the thing that continually struck me, aside from how few people were in attendance at what looked like the school cafeteria, by the way, I know it wasn't, but that's what it looked like, was here's John Kerry. John Kerry is a professional protester. He has made his bones. He has been down for the struggle. He has thrown his medals, well, copies of his medals, over the fence at the White House. I mean, he's testified as a protester before Congress. So here he is faced with his legacy. And he stands up there and basically is cracking a couple jokes while a kid's being hustled out. And not, hey, let that man go. He's entitled to be here. This is a democracy. I want to hear what he has. Instead of doing anything like that, he did say once, that's a very important question, and I'm going to answer that. But while his kid's being roughed up and tasered by the authorities, Kerry's up there just basically ignoring the whole thing and telling jokes. I thought it was very insensitive from one protester to another. Because they have, you know, Kerry apparently has lost the ability to relate, or maybe it is that in his mind privately, I'm John Kerry, and this doesn't happen to me. I know it's a skull and bones question. That's it. So you go there and you do it at your own risk. Here's Bob in Philadelphia. Bob, welcome to the EIB Network, sir. Hello.
Hi, Rush.
Hey.
Getting back to Monday Night Politically Correct Football. Mike Tirico and the useless Tony Kornheiser why were they talking about Andy Reid and his personal problems for 15 minutes? My buddies and I were sitting there saying, get back to the game.
Come on.
That's all they were doing.
Bob, you know the answer to this question.
Oh, of course I do.
Well, then tell everybody instead of asking it. There are people probably wondering it didn't see it. Why do you think they spent 15 minutes waxing and waning about Andy Reid's personal travails?
Because he's not. I won't say it.
There's a perfectly clear reason for this happening. Must everything be left up to me?
Well, what is it, Rush? You tell me.
I'll be glad to understand the answer to this. You have to understand the social conscience of liberals.
Oh, okay.
And you have to understand. You might have to understand Andy Reid's personal problems. Do you? People don't. His two sons are in their early 20s, and they've both run afoul of the law last January, drugs and booze and driving while intoxicated, and, you know, and it was he took a 3-month leave of absence to deal with it, and after that, like a week ago, a month ago, one of the kids said the same thing happened again. So, very unfortunate situation. There's no question about it. Everybody knows Andy Reid loves the guy.
Yep.
But this was an opportunity for these people in the booth to show their compassion. You have to understand, these guys in the booth work at the pleasure of the National Football League and at ESPN. And there's, you know, ESPN pays a lot of money to get the rights for the National Football League to carry Monday Night Football. And part of the drill in media with the NFL is to put it up on a pedestal and put everybody in it on a pedestal, with some exceptions. I mean, if you're in the Cincinnati Bengals, you get arrested 9 times, you know, you're not going to have the Monday Night Crew. Well, I shouldn't say that. They might try to explain the troubled childhood you had as a means of justifying. Who knows? But this is just idolatry. It is part of lifting the participants, the NFL players and coaches, up on this pedestal, praising them for how they deal with these horrible things and such distractions and so forth. It's imminently understandable to me.
Well, here's the thing, Rush. I could understand them mentioning it. You know, just mentioning, okay, boom, it's over. They're announcers for a football game.
Well, but that game last night was about as exciting as watching grass grow.
Yeah, well, you're right about
that.
You know,
you've got two dud offenses left. What was the score, 20-6? I mean, McNabb couldn't hit the side of a barn last night. Now, I know he's playing at 75% on a knee, but anyway, they have to fill time. But these are liberal, highly socially conscious people. They are good people, and they will find the good in everyone except conservatives. If they happen to know Andy Reid was a conservative, who knows what they probably would have ignored the whole thing. I don't know what he is. It doesn't matter. But that's the answer in a nutshell. It's really no more complicated than that.
All right, Rush. Thank
20
you.
To 12. 20 to 12. Oh, 20 to 12. A bunch of field goals, right? Four field goals.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Okay. I got it wrong. 26, 20 to 12. But that final score doesn't tell the whole story. Bob, thanks for the call out there. We have to take a quick time out here, ladies and gentlemen. Another EIB obscene profit break. We'll be right back after this. You know, one other thing here. This business, Charles Barkley, saying that the Philadelphia fans have been rude and unfair to McNabb and so forth. And that way to everybody. They boo Santa Claus. You ought to go talk to Mike Schmidt, who, Hall of Fame third baseman for the Philadelphia Phillies. He was routinely treated. I mean, McNabb doesn't know half of it. I guess Schmidt had to play 80-some-odd days in Philadelphia, as opposed to 8. And he got it all, and he's a Hall of Fame third baseman. Sometimes Barkley doesn't know what he's talking about. Now, I'm going to go back. I realize some of you may not know what this is all about. We got to set the table here. I don't want anybody out of context on this. It's actually 2003, and it was on the ESPN Sunday NFL Countdown, and I was on that show for 5 episodes until this happened. Tom Jackson, they're talking about McNabb. There were 2 segments on McNabb that day. And Tom Jackson said, I don't think that benching McNabb is an option that they see right now. He'll have to lose a lot of football games before he's put on a bench. I'd like to look again at the supporting cast. McNabb is struggling. I'd be amazed if they don't come out today, run that football with whoever you have, Buckhalter, Deuce Staley, run that football, give this guy a break at quarterback. So the whole tone here, where he was not playing, a lousy start to the season. So everybody was wondering, what's wrong with McNabb? And nobody knew. So then Berman, Chris Berman, threw it to me.
Tommy, I've listened to all you guys, actually, and I think the sum total of what you're all saying is that Donovan McNabb is regressing. He's going backwards. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to say this, I don't think he's been that good from the get-go. I think what we've had here is a little social concern in the NFL. I think the media has been very desirous that a black quarterback do well. Mm-hmm. We're interested in black coaches and black quarterbacks doing well. I think there was a little hope invested in McNabb, and he got a lot of credit for the performance of this team that he really didn't deserve.
The defense
carried this team,
but
I think,
Rush, and he somebody got went to those championship games. Somebody went to those Pro Bowls. Somebody made those plays that I saw running down the field, doing it with his legs, doing it with his arm. He has been a very effective quarterback for this football team over the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, but
different than what we see right now. And they didn't have any more talent
Well, but that's what I'm saying. I think he got a lot of credit for the defensive side of the ball winning games for this team.
But I'll tell you what, I'll say it even more strongly, Tom. When they're winning, nobody makes more plays
than Donovan McNabb.
With his arm than Donovan McNabb. Yeah. That guy is really one of the best in the league at making plays.
Well,
but making plays does not win championships. Running the offense does. So at some point, I think
Coy
Detmer looks like a better option because he'll go in there, drop back, and throw the ball correctly.
Isn't it odd that last year with the broken leg, I know it was Arizona, but the one game he was in the pie, he looked great.
He had to run that offense.
So, Rush, once you make that investment, though, once you make that investment in him, that's a done deal.
I'm saying it's a good investment. Don't misunderstand. I just don't think he's as good as everybody said he has been.
Rush has a point.
That was Michael Irvin there at the end. Rush has a point. It was Steve Young talking about McNabb not managing the offense well, and maybe Coy Detmer ought to be given the ball. Then a couple days after, this happened on a Sunday. The firestorm didn't happen until Tuesday when the Philadelphia print media, I think every columnist wrote about it. Nothing was said later on ESPN that day or on their Monday pregame show. It never came up, I was told, in the production meetings for those shows. And on Tuesday, the Philadelphia sports media, and it hit. And on Wednesday, I got a call from ESPN. Says either you or Tommy. Tommy says, if you come back, he's not Tom Jackson. Well, this is not worth that. So I fled the coop. And then McNabb had his press conference that day. And he said, why do people bring race into this? I'm a quarterback in the NFL. And now, ever since he got to the Super Bowl, he's been a black quarterback. Ever since the Eagles made the Super Bowl, he's been a black quarterback. Now he's going to be on HBO tonight talking about the trials and tribulations of being a black quarterback. It has taken 4 years. But the point that I originally made finally is now being acknowledged and confirmed. And it was not a point, it wasn't racist, and it wasn't even critical of McNabb as for race. It was a comment that was just targeting the media. Because sports media is like every other media. They're a bunch of leftists. They're liberals. They have this superiority about them. They're great social conscience and all of that. So it is what it is, folks. A quick timeout. Back after this. All right. We've been pouring gasoline on the fire here in this hour. I, Rush Limbaugh, being the fire. Next week, we're going to start pouring gasoline on Hillary's health care plan. So just sit tight, folks. It's a 3-hour show, and we get to everything you want and more. We meet and surpass your expectations. Here's Chris, a cell call from South Dakota. Nice to know they have cell networks there. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Rush. I was just wondering when ESPN is going to have a white running back on to talk about the trials and tribulations of being in their position.
Well, the trials and tribulations of the white running back.
Yeah.
Explain that for the people in the audience that may not quite understand.
Well, I guess it's a rhetorical question because I don't know of any white running backs in the NFL ever.
Well, 60% of the players in the NFL are black now. Which is fine. You go get the best players. Don't anybody misread anything here, folks. But if 100%, you got to understand this, if 100% of the players in the National Football League were black, the sports media would still treat them as though they just escaped bondage and, in fact, are still in it, because they would move, okay, how many general managers are black? They'd find a problem there. How many owners are black? They'd find a problem there. It could be 100% black, and the liberal sports media would still find a way to treat these guys as though they're in bondage, still, you know, down for the civil rights struggle and so forth and so on. I got to go. We got our next hour coming up. Stop laughing in there, Snurdly. I'm serious about this. We'll be back in just a second.